You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast brought to you by Stathead. I am Jason, and with me as usual is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello, hello.
All right, so we are doing a special episode today. We are going to focus on specifically a search that we are able to do in the Stathead.com tool. And as you know, this episode is brought to you by Stathead. It is the most powerful research tool in sports. Stathead is powered by the sports reference sites you trust and use every day, including for listeners of the show, basketballreference.com. So our focus is going to be on how elite scorers sometimes get traded. So we're looking at players who average 29.9 points per game or more in a season, and then were traded the next season. We'll explain to you why it's 29.9 in a minute. But if you use the exclusive promo code BACK, that's B-A-C-K, you can get $20 off an annual subscription to any of Stathead.com's products. So thanks to Stathead.com for sponsoring the show and giving us the tools to take our research to the next level.
Yeah, and we'll share how we got to this result, and we'll share the links and stuff like that if you want to follow along with us on this episode. So yeah, what we're going to do here is we're going to look at elite scorers that sometimes get traded. Because obviously if Kevin Durant has his way this offseason, he'll be traded to a new team. So this gave me the idea of, okay, how many guys that had 30 plus point per game scoring seasons were traded the season after they were such elite scorers? And then I go to Kevin Durant's basketball reference page to find out that this absolute jerk averaged 29.9 points per game. Somewhere in my head,
how
I rounded up and was like, well, he obviously had 30 points per game, right? He's Kevin Durant. No, he had 29.9, like an absolute jerk face. So you know what I said? Hey, we have Stathead. So you know what? We make the criteria. Stathead.com lets us make the criteria. See what I'm doing? I'm checking every single season in NBA, ABA, and BAA history in the regular season. I'm looking at points per game, and I'm sorting it by 29.9. Because you know what? Kevin Durant, this whole point was for Kevin Durant to be a part of this. Is it arbitrary? Yeah, but it's my damn show. It's our damn show. And it's Stathead's tool, so we're going to do it. And we can do it. And that's, I guess, the power of Stathead, is we can put 29.9, and that's fine. We're going to get all the same players. We're going to get a lot of the same guys. But then we're going to include Kevin Durant, and maybe, hey, maybe we'll include some other ones as well. But hey, that is the tool that you can use Stathead.com with. So again, we did single seasons, NBA, BAA, ABA history, regular season. We did points per game over 29.9, over and equaling 2. So obviously could get Kevin Durant in there and get all the 30 plus per game guys in there. And then we sorted it by descending points per game. So what we were able to do then is find 90 instances in NBA and ABA history of players that had over 29.9 point per game seasons. And now here they are. All right, I'm gonna list them all for you. All right, take a big break. I'll tell you how many times they did this as well. All right,
all right.
Michael Jordan, 8. Wilt Chamberlain, 7. Oscar Robertson, 6. Jerry West, 4. Allen Iverson, 4. Adrian Dantley, 4. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 4. Rick Barry, 4. Dominique Wilkins, 3. Bob McAdoo, 3. LeBron James, 3. James Harden, 3. A lot of threes. Kevin Durant, 3. Kobe Bryant, 3. Elgin Baylor, 3. George Gervin, 2. Steph Curry, 2. Bradley Beal, 2. Dan Issel, 2. Russell Westbrook, 1. Dwayne Wade, 1. Jack Twyman, 1. Bob Pettit, 1. Tracy McGrady, 1. Pete Maravich, 1. Moses Malone, 1. Karl Malone, 1. Damian Lillard, 1. Bernard King, 1. World Be Free, 1. And he's an interesting one because he is not a Hall of Famer. Every other guy we mentioned here either is a Hall of Famer or I think we can make a safe assumption will be a Hall of Famer. LeBron James, James Harden, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, these guys are all going to make the Hall of Fame. Steph Curry, I believe, will probably make the Hall of Fame. World Be Free, his career is over, has been over for a while, still not a Hall of Famer. So he is the one guy on this list so far that does not appear like he will ever or does not appear on track to become a Hall of Famer. So it's an interesting little note there. Joel Embiid won, Larry Bird won, Walt Bellamy won, Tiny Archibald won, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I mentioned earlier, won, Charlie Scott won, Spencer Haywood won, Connie Hawkins won, Julius Irving one. So now who got traded after scoring 29.9 points per game? Jason, it happened 7 times in NBA history. Kind of maybe an eighth if we depend on it. We'll see. 7 for sure. 7 for sure. And let's talk about the first one here. Jason, you want to tell us a little bit about Bob McAdoo, the first one we're going to talk about here?
I would love, Rich, to tell you about Bob McAdoo. So Bob McAdoo, of course, you know, innovator for his time, you know, a smooth jump shooting big man, you know, definitely a guy who would have just been awesome in the modern NBA, able to make a whole lot of threes, would have been the perfect big man for this era, but he was great in his era. He averaged 30.6 points per game in 74, 34.5 in 75, and 31.1 in 76 for the Buffalo Braves. He was the MVP of the 75 season, but things didn't go well for the Braves. They had financial issues, but McAdoo wasn't thrilled about playing there. So he wasn't traded in the offseason, but after 20 games with the Braves in 77, on the move to the Knicks, he was traded with Tom McMillan to the New York Knicks for John Ginelli and cash. And you'd be like, well, okay, why did they not get very much more than him? I've never heard of John Ginelli and cash. Well, NBA of the 70s wasn't quite the same as the NBA of today, and you didn't quite get as much for stars and financial considerations. That cash probably was a definitely a big factor in that. So he's definitely the first to score at that level and be traded during the season for an NBA history.
Yeah, there you go. Bob McAdoo, one here. Next one, Moses Malone. And everybody, you know, listening to this, if you're a big-time NBA fan, when we set up the idea of, hey, elite scorers that got traded, you're probably screaming, Moses Malone, Moses Malone. Yes, Moses Malone. Yes. Probably the most famous example is he averaged 31.1 points per game for the 82 Rockets and then was on the move to Philadelphia in the offseason. He was traded by the Rockets to the 76ers for Caldwell Jones and a 1983 first-round pick. Rodney McRae later selected there. And Moses Malone is famous for winning back-to-back MVPs with two different teams as well because he goes to the Rockets. He's great. He's great. He's awesome. He wins the MVP. Then he goes to the 76ers. And, oh, yeah, he's also great. He wins MVP. And the 76ers are obviously a very good team with Moses Malone being the most dominant player. Really? I mean, yeah, I think he probably – I'm over Dr. J. I would say Moses probably. Yeah. I mean, Dr. J is good. But, yeah, Moses really brings them to an entirely different level. LeBron James, so close here. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I absolutely. Yeah. And fo. You know,
obviously. Yeah, right. That's all you have to say. Yeah, really.
Mo brings fo.
Yeah, absolutely. And did they get fo? No, not exactly.
Well, but fo, whatever.
Whatever. It's cooler to just say fo. So we're going to do that anyway. LeBron James, so close to this, as he averaged 29.7 points per game in the final season of his initial run with Cleveland before he has moved to Miami. And do you remember that he was technically traded to Miami? Yes. It was very weird. He was traded by the Cleveland Cavaliers to the Miami Heat for a 2011 second round pick. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the man's name who he was traded for, but you don't know who he is. Don't worry. Yeah. A 2012 second round pick eventually became Jay Crowder. A 2013 first round pick eventually became a guy that I'm not even going to mention his name either. And then a 2016 first round pick who ended up being Timothy Luau Cabarro or whatever. Nobody really cared. And then Cleveland also received a trade exemption from Miami. Cleveland also had the option to swap first-round picks with the Miami Heat in 2012. But believe it or not, did not opt to do so, saying, "Wow, well, let's see, we're bad and you guys are good. Should we keep our pick or take yours?" Yeah, what was that? Like, what is that even added in for? Like, what are you doing? Like, when what scenario would have played out where the 2012 Miami Heat would have been so bad that Cleveland would have had the option? That must have been a thing where they're like, "Well, let's give us one more. Come on, give us one more thing." And they're like, "Fine, you want to swap picks?" And they're like, whatever. Like, maybe if, you know, there was like a plane crash or something, maybe, you know, or LeBron got in a car accident and Miami didn't have any. Buddy, that maybe they could get lucky, but they did not get lucky. No, Cleveland opted instead to take their very, very high pick and not take Miami's very, very not high pick. So,
sure,
probably good move by Cleveland to do that.
Probably smart. Yeah, I recall this. It was a scene at the time is basically the Heat bribing the Cavs so that they would not, file any tampering charges. I believe was what everyone kind of thought was that's why this happened this way. But yeah,
no, we did a trade. We were talking about the trade.
Yeah,
a trade. Yeah.
Yeah. So next we've got Allen Iverson. Also, like Bob McAdoo, not traded in the offseason, but traded very early into the 2007 season. He averaged 33 points per game for the 2006 76ers, but things didn't go well. There he was ready to move on. So 15 games into 2007, he was on the move to Denver. December 19th, 2006, traded along with Ivan McFarland to the Nuggets for Andre Miller, Joe Smith, a 2007 first-round draft pick that ended up being the legendary Daquan Cook, and also another first-round pick that ended up being Petteri Koponen. Those Nuggets were a pretty fun team. You know, Carmelo and Iverson being together, you know, obviously they were a fast-paced scoring team. They had George Karl by then, right? Yeah, they were coached by George Karl at that point. So, that was a team. They didn't win anything, but that was a fun team to watch. Kind of reinvigorated Iverson's career, at least for the short term. Of course, he didn't last in Denver for too long. You know, ended up moving on to the Pistons of all teams. Allen Iverson Piston year, kind of forget about that. Yeah. But
and then the Grizzlies year, which we should all just forget.
We definitely should forget that. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely. You know, again, Iverson wasn't. Like long for the league, but he absolutely was, you know, an incredible scorer during his time and, you know, a super fun player.
Yeah, those are real, real fun teams. Next guy we're going to move on to here is James Harden. And again, as close as the offseason you could possibly get, as he's traded 8 games into the 2021 season. You remember this? I don't have to explain what happened here. Most of these people listening to this probably remember this. I guess unless you just started watching basketball yesterday, and in which case, welcome. We're an NBA history podcast. You'll learn a lot from us. But he had averaged 3 straight years of 30-plus points per game, and then he was moved on to Brooklyn. And since we talk about NBA history and not current NBA, I have no idea what happened after that. I'm just going to assume that this man, who was a dominant scorer, went to Brooklyn and... Man, I can't imagine that that anything didn't go just swimmingly well for Brooklyn with James Harden. I think he was Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I mean, that sounds like an incredible trio. I'm guessing that worked out great. I'm
not going to find out if it did.
NBA history, so I don't know what happened in the last year.
We went over 5 years. Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
Yeah, I'll just assume it was great. I'm not going to go over that trade because it was a 4-team trade, and I think approximately 8,000 players were traded back and forth. So I'm just not going to go over that trade because there's too many people, and we don't need to spend our time doing that.
Fair enough. All right, well, next we're going to move on to World Be Free.
Hey, there it is.
Yeah. Right, 30.2 points per game for the San Diego Clippers in 1980. It was lone all-star season, but the Clippers were like, hey, we don't need World Be Free for some reason. We are going to trade him to Golden State. Yeah, we're going to trade him for Phil Smith, who had been a good player but was definitely on the decline at that point, in a 1984 first-round pick who ended up being Lancaster Gordon. The Clippers love trading their first round picks, although Lancaster Gordon didn't really like. So World Be Free. I don't know, man. Like he averaged 20 points per game in his career. Can we get a World Be Free Hall of Fame campaign started? You know, I'm not sure he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but would the Hall of Fame be more joyful if it had World Be Free in it? I think it would.
Yeah, all-time name. I think just for the name alone. I mean, I think he should probably be in the Hall of Fame,
right? I mean, he was basically the Jamal Crawford of his time.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if he necessarily absolutely 100% needs to be in the Hall of Fame, but I think we should at least talk about him being in the Hall of Fame. You know, I think it's worth it. Yeah, I'm with it. Let's
Yeah,
let's start it here. Yeah, we've got most of the other guys that we've wanted in, but now I think it's time that we start moving on some other guys here. So let's see what we can do with that. But that is Werby Free, also traded perfectly by the Clippers in the offseason. So Adrian Dantley, who when I first had this idea, I was like, elite scorers that sometimes get traded. Oh, Adrian Dantley's 100% going to be on this list because he is all-time chucker in NBA history.
Sure.
And one of the NBA's all-time hated teammates, where most people did not like playing with Adrian Dantley. But like LeBron, he is oh so close. If I just had changed the criteria, he would have been in there. But he was at 29.8 points per game his final year in Utah. Yes, I'm sorry. I should have stretched out the criteria for Adrian Dantley, but I did not. So the criteria is the criteria, so I apologize here, Adrian Dantley. But he is not there, oh so close to getting there in his final year in Utah before he has moved on to Detroit. Now, this is a tough one. Wilt Chamberlain was traded, but it was 38 games into the next season. So it's not off season, but he did get traded the year after averaging 30 points per game. 1965 San Francisco Warriors. Then he is traded to the 76ers, but still he had, 5 years of 30 plus point per game seasons, including a nice little 50 plus point per game season and a 40 plus point per game season.
Not bad.
So not bad at all before moving to the Sixers. He was traded January 15th, 1965 to the Sixers for Connie Dierking, Paul Newman, Lee Schaefer, and cash, which I imagine is a lot of cash, a big probably old bag of cash because they needed it. So, think about that trade now. If you were trading a man who just had five straight years, 30 plus points per game, had averaged 50 plus a game not that long ago, I think it's going to take a little bit more than Connie Dierking, Paul Newman, Lee Schaefer, and a big bag of cash.
Like, right. I would think if you were going to make that, if you were going to make a trade, if you got Joel Embiid to the Hawks for John Collins and DeAndre Hunter, that's basically the equivalent of this trade now.
$10,000 in cash. It's like, what are you doing?
Obviously, Embiid would fish. I mean, Will Chamberlain would get five first round picks and a young star and,
it would be like the Maravich deal a little bit. It would just be like, here, we don't need any of these picks ever again. Just take them all. We don't ever need another pick ever again. They're yours now. Just have them. We have Wilt now. We're good to go. So it would have been awesome. Yeah, I love the idea of John Collins, DeAndre Hunton, and $10,000 in cash.
That's right.
Are you guys that cash strapped? Really?
Yeah. Really?
Hey, we're building our own arena. All right. We're gonna.
Exactly.
Sure. Are we venture capitalist millionaires? Yes. But
$10,000. $10,000. A long way.
Shovels are expensive, hats are expensive these days. So Tracy McGrady, not on this list officially, very close. He was traded 2 years after averaging 32.1 points per game and traded the year after averaging an NBA leading 28 points per game, but not 29.9, not 30.
Right. In that era, averaging 20 points per game would be averaging 50 now. So
he was incredible. Averaging 28 points per game would be 45 points a game in today's NBA. His team was bad-ish. There was not really that any good players, and he was such a good scorer that he just scored basically all of his team's points for a couple.
You got a lot of 85 to 75 games during that time. So averaging 28 points per game was great. So
quite the accomplishment, but the criteria is the criteria. So sorry, Tracy, you are out of here.
There you go.
And then our final guy traded in the season after becoming an elite scorer, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, averaged 30 points per game in 1975, which unfortunately was his last year in Milwaukee, as in he was off to the Lakers in the offseason, June 16th, 1975. Traded by the Bucks with Walt Wesley to the Los Angeles Lakers for Junior Bridgman, Dave Myers, Elmore Smith, and Brian Winters, which actually, and we've talked about this before on this show, if you want to go back and listen to our archives, overandbacknba.com. Not the worst trade for the Bucks, man. They were able to do a lot with the guys that they got back, including Brian Winters and Junior Bridgman. Yeah, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Know what I mean? It's not, none of those guys are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but it didn't suffocate the franchise. It wasn't like, oh, this franchise is never going to be good again. They did some good stuff with some of those guys. Obviously, they would probably prefer to have Kareem during that entire run, but still not the worst deal ever. So,
yeah, they were able to come out of it with some good players, and and they had a bit of a down period, but it wasn't that long. And those guys, especially Bridgman and Winters, were important for the next teams that they had. So the Bucks ended up being fine. Obviously, they didn't get equal value, but it worked out fairly well. Actually, the Bucks and the Lakers the next season had the exact same record. So
famous fun fact that it's like, hey, yeah, Kareem right. who? And then, well, I mean, over the next decade, it was like, oh, that Kareem.
Yeah.
Right.
yeah.
That's and, who. And, oh, that guy. All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kareem did last. He outlasted every single player in that trade. So even though those players were, most of them were significantly younger than he was, he actually did play. He was still in the league when all those guys retired. So it's a fun one as well.
There it is. So those are the guys. So just to recap here, the people traded. If Kevin Durant gets his way, he will join this duo here, or this list of players here. Bob McAdoo, Moses Malone, Allen Iverson, James Harden, will be free, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's a pretty good company to keep for Kevin Durant there. Does not happen very often in NBA history, but it does happen. So there you go. The guys traded after averaging 29.9 plus.
Right.
Kevin Durant, you jerk. How many? Like, what are we talking about? That's like the difference. Just a few points.
Right. We're running up, so it's okay. Yeah.
Exactly. So, again, that was via stathead.com. We'll share the links that we, because Stathead lets you share, you know, hey, if you do your research, you can share that link or whatever. But single seasons, NBA, BAA, ABA history in the regular season requiring points per game over 29.9 points per game, sorted by descending points per game. And then just going through the list of guys and saying, hey, who of these guys got traded? So, yeah, pretty fun little thought experiment here, and we'll see what happens. You know, this we might sound really dumb if he doesn't get traded, or we'll sound even more smart when he does get traded. So we'll see what ends up happening. If he gets
perhaps. So again, thanks to stathead.com for sponsoring this week's show. You can use our exclusive promo code BACK, BACK, get $20 off an annual subscription to any of stathead.com's products. So thanks everyone for listening. Of course, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA. You can subscribe to us on any of the major podcast services. Please leave a rating and review if you are enjoying the show. And thanks again for listening. We'll be back again soon.